fixing the typo.
Let me ask one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Warren, I know that the applicant did do mitigation, you know, as far as we could for the amount of the value of the project. But, you know, we were talking about the screening that was proposed by Tom, or at least a suggestion that in the future, maybe we could have some sort of a tree screening, you know, if that road does go through. That would be part of that new plan if Airport Road does go across, you know, to the other side where the old bridge was, and he's asking to have some sort of screening. That could be incorporated with that plan at that time, I'm assuming.
Yeah, so if we're talking about the new Airport Road fix, landscaping, that sort of thing would be part of the project. It'd be, you know, city responsibility, but definitely that could be incorporated into a city project.
Right, and improve the screening on, okay. Pro Tem Gregory, I'm sorry.
So back to the first recommendation, would that be considered a conditional use permit to maintain that?
Yeah, both of these would be conditions that would be added to the conditional use permit slash development plan. These would run with the land indefinitely and would be enforceable at all times.
Okay, and then I'll ask that same question that John just asked. So as far as the road between Airport Road and the end of the Ravine parking lot, that area is going to be replaced short when we the landing project goes through. The city will be responsible for doing the landscaping along that road?
Yes, the city would be responsible for any future improvements of the Airport Road frontage, and that will include the edge condition, whatever is determined to be the best thing. It might be landscaping, it might not be, but that would be part of the city project.
Okay.
So. Councilman Bauer.
Thank you. Put too fine a point on it. So the recommended modification says the existing detention basin to be regraded. Should that also include some expectation of maintenance?
Well, I think the interpretation would be that there's supposed to be a basin that can always hold 1,700 cubic feet. So if it silted again, it would have to be regraded again.
Right.
So that
but I would like to see just spelled out in case it passes to a future property owner, it's regraded. It doesn't say one time, two times, but maintenance of effort should be included here.
So okay. The goal is to get it functioning the way the city engineer and others think it should be. And then any failure to maintain it would be a code enforcement issue or a violation of the CUP.
And it could be enforceable?
Yep.
Okay.
It's enforceable as a violation of the CUP or under our code enforcement rules.
Fair enough. Thank you.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion on the item?
Okay.
Okay, looking for an action here.
I'd like to make a motion.
Pro Tem Gregory.
So option two, as it reads, with the three items that are listed here, and I'm going to make a recommendation that the Ravine Water Park consider landscaping their parking lot between Airport and River Road as an option, not as a requirement.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Gregory, second by Bausch. Discussion on that? So, Steve, where exactly are you? I'm getting a little confused on where you're asking to have those trees exactly.
So, if you drive into Paso Robles and you see Ravine Water Park, it looks great. But immediately when you turn onto Airport Road and you finish, the structures are gone in the parking lot.
Yes.
It looks like a parking lot. And it's right up to the edge of the road. And
yeah.
I'm not trying to cost them parking spots or anything. Just maybe some kind of improvement there.
That's where I thought you meant, but if they even do
it's an option.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I just don't see there's much room there to do anything.
If they have an idea, Brett is very creative.
Yeah,
if they could do it, fine.
I would take out the word trees because the trees become a
part. Oh, I didn't say it's just landscape.
Some sort of screening.
I would put screen.
Screen.
Would you friendly amendment to screen?
Councilmember Beal.
I mean, I think we would keep that separate from the motion, right?
Okay.
Just to keep something like this really clear.
I would make that an outside of the motion recommendation.
So I think what we
okay, we have a motion by Gregory.
So I think what we have is
a
motion by Councilmember Gregory to approve the resolution denying the appeal and including the two conditions on the screen and the indemnity provision. And that's the motion with a second, I believe, from Bausch.
Correct.
And then subsequent to that, there's just a request or recommendation to Mr. Butterfield to think about some beautification along that portion of the road, keeping in mind all of the permitting issues that may be associated with that, if any, and working with the city engineer to ensure we don't have any sightline issues or anything like that.
That's right the way I was going to say it.
That's a good point, too, sightline.
Sure you are.
Okay, all right. Any other discussion? Okay, we'll call for the question, Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Beal?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay, and we'll go ahead and make a recess for 10 minutes.
What a good idea.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM, Paso Robles, Atascadero, and Templeton. Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
The Hindenburg was an engineering masterpiece, an airship as large and as grand as the Titanic, and as doomed. Built by the Zeppelin Company in Germany during the 1930s, and at a time when flying a passenger plane across the Atlantic was a difficult and perilous journey, the great dirigibles crossed the ocean with serene and effortless grace. But the popularity of the Hindenburg was clouded in political controversy. Funds for its construction had come in large part from Germany's Nazi Party. The United States, which controlled the only natural deposits of helium in the world, denied the Zeppelin Company access to this valuable gas. As a result, the Hindenburg was inflated with hydrogen, a far more flammable substance. In 1936 alone, the great airship traveled 10 times across the Atlantic without incident. The afternoon of May 6th, 1937, promised to be no different.
Well, here it comes, ladies and gentlemen. We're out now, outside of the hangar, and what a great sight it is. A thrilling one.
On hand to record the arrival of the Hindenburg at Lakehurst Naval Air Station in New Jersey that day was a young Chicago radio reporter named Herb Morrison. Instead, Morrison helped radio to broadcast one of modern history's great disasters as it suddenly unfolded in all its terrible glory.
The back motors of the ship are just holding it just enough to keep it from... It bursts into flames. Get it started. It's rising terrible. Oh, my. Get out of the way, please. It's burning, bursting into flames, and it's falling on the mooring fast, and all the folks agree that this is terrible. This is one of the worst catastrophes in the world. Oh, it's 400 or 500 feet into the sky, and it's a terrific crash, ladies and gentlemen. The smoke and the flames now, and the frame is crashing to the ground, not quite to the mooring mast. All the humanity and all the passengers screaming around here. I can't talk, ladies and gentlemen.
Lakehurst, New Jersey. The German dirigible Hindenburg is on fire. How serious is the blaze cannot be determined at this time, but it is reported that the entire ship is involved. This bulletin is from the Press Radio Bureau.
35 passengers died in the explosion of the Hindenburg. Perhaps more incredibly, a few passengers survived. What caused the ship to ignite remains speculative to this day. What is certain is that the explosion signaled the death knell of the passenger airship industry. But even as Herb Morrison's eyewitness report that day chronicled the end of one era, it signaled the beginning of another. An age in which electronic media would routinely report shocking events in the moment that they occurred.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Welcome to Heroes of the Air.
True stories of those who flew for America and earned the nation's supreme military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Heroes of the Air is brought to you by the Air Force Association, an independent nonprofit aerospace organization which promotes public understanding of the role aerospace power plays in our national defense. Your host for Heroes of the Air is Gene Pell. The invasion of North Africa was underway, but Allied commanders led by General Dwight Eisenhower were still in the dark about what to expect from military leaders of Vichy France, who were in control of the North African coast and interior. Would they resist the American offensive, or would they agree not to fight? One way to find out was to try and talk with them. And toward that end, two Army Air Corps officers, Colonel Demas T. Craw and Major Pierpont H. Hamilton, volunteered to go ashore with the first landing wave, make their way behind enemy lines, and attempt to reach the local French commander. Near Port Leode, French Morocco, November 8, 1942. Colonel Craw's request was first refused as being too dangerous, but upon his insistence that he was qualified to undertake and accomplish the mission, he was allowed to go, accompanied by Major Hamilton and an enlisted driver. They encountered heavy fire while in the landing boat and were unable to dock in the river as planned because of shell fire from shore batteries. They finally succeeded in landing on the beach while under constant strafing at low levels from three enemy planes. They boarded a jeep and began making their way toward the French commander's headquarters, some 5 miles distant. Their progress was now impaired by fire from the guns of American naval ships. Within a short distance of their objective, a sudden and sustained burst of machine gun fire erupted from a concealed position, and Colonel Craw was instantly killed, his companions taken into custody as POWs by French forces. Major Hamilton managed to complete the mission, urged the French commander to declare an armistice, and learned 2 days later that the commander's superiors had indeed agreed to do so. For their conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity in action above the call of duty, Army Air Corps Colonel Demas T. Craw and Major Pierpont M. Hamilton were awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor. The Air Force Association is proud to bring you Heroes of the Air, dedicated to those who earned the nation's highest military award, the Congressional Medal of Honor. Their service and sacrifice reflect an ideal that puts others and country above self. AFA salutes all men and women in the Air Force who so selflessly serve our country each day at home and around the globe. Heroes of the Air is produced by Pelcom Communications in association with Radio America.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
When I was young, I'd listen to the radio, waiting for my favorite songs. When they played, I'd sing along. It made me smile. Those were such happy times, and not so long ago. How I wondered where they'd gone. But they're back again, just like a long lost friend. All the songs I love so well. Every sha-la-la-la, every woe-woe still shines. yesterday once more.
Tonight's City Council meeting is in recess and will return in just a short time. Thanks for listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL.
Okay, well, we're going to reconvene. Thank you, Melissa. We are now at discussion items. What we want to do is if we could, discussion item 6. People in the audience would like to do it. All right, so let's go ahead and do your
corner of Golden Hill and Highway 46. The Eagle Energy Project's been around for many years. This oak tree obviously has been around a long time. The original improvements to this station at the time had to work around it, and as you can see, it's a large open area around the tree. Over the years, the tree's been declining. It's had some more recent limb failures. The applicant applied for an oak removal request. So as you can see in the photo, there's some health issues with it. An arborist report is included that indicates some issues with the tree. So the option before you tonight is to approve the removal of the tree. There's a mitigation requirement based on the size of the tree to plant 8 15-gallon or inch and a half diameter oak trees on site. So that's what's before the council at this time, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you, Darren. Any questions of Darren?
Yeah, okay, well, let's see if we can get through this quickly. I mean, the person that pulled this is gone, and we have other people that are waiting for the item that was supposed to be next.
That's a problem.
So, Darren, what, I mean, that site's big enough for 8 trees, but what happens when they all grow up? Are they... Do you have a say, of, or the arborist has a say, of where to plant them on site?
Yeah, the condition of the mitigation trees is for the arborist to be involved.
Okay.
And to put them in areas where the arborist recommends them go.
If we had a site that wouldn't accommodate 8 trees, is there a place of other that these trees would be planted?
There are some large areas, including the area where the existing oak tree is. Unfortunately, we never heard back from the applicant or the arborist to help determine how feasible this would be. But in terms of if it's determined that there's some, not all of them are appropriate on site, there's I think it's a $200 mitigation fee per tree.
Okay.
That the city could then take, I think it goes to the public works where the funds can go put trees in areas where the city's working on a project.
Thank you for that.
So,
any other questions on this side?
One more.
Councilmember?
I have a question.
You? Okay. Pro Tem Gregory.
So, Darren, just a technical question. So I received the call on this tree originally. If we approve this tonight, can they take it out tomorrow?
They do need to... there's a fee involved
coming
to council that needs to be squared away, and I did want, I wanted them to recognize the replacement, because I never heard back from anyone.
Okay, and so if they get a hold of you about that, they'll
It was our intent to keep this on an agenda. We understood the request for removal, so we kept it on the agenda. However, hadn't heard back.
Thank you.
So yes, with the payment of the fee, with the acknowledgement of the replacement trees, there is a permit that gets issued.
Okay.
That's not getting issued until we have something worked out with them.
They can be over the counter with the agreements.
We can work with them on that.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions from council? We'll go ahead and have the applicant come forward. Would you like to address the council? Sure. Please, your name first, please.
If you're concerned, I did let Mr.
Your name?
No. Oh, Terry. Terry Larson.
Got it.
I did let Mr. Nash know the day I did the permit that we do not have space on the property for 8 trees, but we would be willing to purchase them.
And put them in the inventory?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So he was notified of that.
Okay.
And I don't know if he shared the pictures and the videos of the tree that almost wiped out a lady and her dog.
Yeah.
So.
I've been getting gas there for the last 50 years almost, and I've seen the tree. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, we lost the tractor, part of the tractor, with this branch coming down, but it does need to come down before somebody does die.
Yep. I'm wondering, though, if I'm understanding both of you to correct me, that I think he's saying you have to pay the fee for all those trees before you take that down.
I will go down and pay that tomorrow, but we want to be approved.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'll open up then. That's fine. We're good with you. Any other public comment on this item, please? Come forward. Okay. Do we have anyone online, Melissa?
No, sir.
Okay. We'll bring it back to council for direction and or action.
I move we approve item 6 on the consent agenda to remove the tree.
Second.
Okay. We have a motion by Gregory, second by Strong. Discussion on the item 6? Call for the question, Melissa.
Councilmember Gregory?
Aye.
Councilmember Strong?
Aye.
Councilmember Bausch?
Aye.
Councilmember Veal?
Aye.
Mayor Hammond?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
You've been approved.
All right, move on. Okay, now we're back on the first item on discussion, and that is the progress update related to the Paso Robles City Council vision and goal setting. Mr. Huon.
Thank you, Mayor. Each of you should have a copy of tonight's presentation, serving a couple different purposes, but the primary purpose is being an initial reference document for you to not only review tonight, but to review over the next couple weeks as we continue to evolve goals for you. Each year, the City Council adopts a 2-year budget. And the budget is the fiscal tool that enables the city to provide services, programs, projects, initiatives. The way we prioritize the use of those resources is largely based on the goals that this council adopts. The goals that you all adopt are essentially the blueprint that drive the work that staff does that determines certain resource allocation and essentially time that staff spends throughout the fiscal year. So they're very important that we have direction from this council with goals in mind as we begin to develop the budget, which will be coming before you here in less than a month. And so the goal, no pun intended, is to converge the goals that you will be discussing tonight as well as in future meetings with the budget and essentially mirroring or aligning available resources with the goals to accomplish the most we can for the community in the upcoming 2-year budget cycle. With that being said, if we rewind back to November of 2025, this council sat through both, I think, individual sessions and a group session on goal setting with Jacob Green and Associates. And you talked quite a bit about goal areas and some area of focus elements within those goal areas. You also talked about a vision and a potential vision statement for the city, which is one element of a high-performing organization, the mission statement and core values being the other, which we'll continue to work on, but we started on that vision statement. The conclusion of the November exercise resulted, if I could go back to the previous slide, in six key goal areas. And Mr. Malowitz will cover those in more detail, but those were the six areas that this council determined as those buckets on where we wanted to spend some effort and focus on over the next 2 years. Again, I think the big takeaway from that session was, one, there was quite a bit of alignment already with existing council goals in terms of the goal areas. And so it was a great opportunity to reaffirm in a lot of cases where we're going to be spending some focus time over the next 2 years. Next slide, please. So we did retain Jacob Green and Associates. They're the same group that worked with you all on the initial visioning and goal setting session to help do a deeper dive with the departments to try to take the work that you all started and provide some additional initiatives and goals kind of within those different areas. And that's really what we're going to be talking about this evening. Again, we are focused on actionable initiatives and implementation timelines. These are all things that are built into the goals along with strategies to achieve those goals. What we're going to be sharing with you though this evening is really the high level component of the goals development process, which are the draft initiatives. We, as Mr. Malowitz will probably cover in a minute, we have several pages of those, and we are happy to dive into any that are of particular interest. But we will be doing a high-level summary this evening, refining those over the coming weeks, coming back to you probably at your first meeting in May for another discussion, and then another discussion after that to formally adopt. So you'll have multiple bites at the apple to provide feedback is what I'm getting at. Next slide, please. So we've been undertaking over the last several weeks facilitated work planning sessions with each of the departments for each of the goal areas. Those sessions have been led both by department staff as well as Mr. Malowitz, who's been the chaperone, I will say, in the goals process leading this project. Again, looking to align initiatives that staff want to accomplish over the next few years with council goals and priorities. We looked at best strategies for implementation, making sure that we identify the responsible departments and teams that are going to be responsible for those implementation, and then of course timelines are also important. I think the biggest thing I want to emphasize before I turn it over to Mr. Malowitz is a lot of what you are going to see this evening shouldn't necessarily be new, meaning that we have a lot of strategic plans, master plans, documents that the council has previously approved and discussed. That's where we're pulling a lot of this from. So while there may be some new things in there, there may be a reference to an ad hoc committee on alleyway beautification in there, but beyond some one-offs like that, a lot of this should be familiar to you because you've considered, reviewed, and approved a lot of these plans that kind of culminate in this document previously. So with that, I want to turn it over to Assistant City Manager David Malowitz, who again has been working as the lead on this project. I want to quickly recognize and thank him for his hard work and detail-oriented focus on this process. And I also want to thank the departments. This was something new that we are going through this year for the first time. And there's been a lot of hard work behind the scenes to get this document in place for you. So with that, I will turn it over to Mr. Malowitz.
Welcome, David.
Thank you, Mr. Hewitt, Mayor, members of council. As mentioned earlier, this is still in a refining stage. Staff has worked a good part of the month and a half, putting together the larger granular stuff, but what is being presented to you today is more of the high-level initiatives that were identified through this process that are related to each piece of the goal. So we want to make sure that we have consistent structure, clear language, and alignment across all departments. That's what is the next step. We're going to take comments that we hear today, comments that may be coming in after from either yourselves or members of public. working with JGA and Associates on the larger document itself, and then present that later. And as Mr. Hewitt mentioned, again, this aligns with departmental priorities and will be critical to our budget planning process and has been critical up to this date right now. And as we develop the CIP projects and we look towards what we're going to be doing in the next 2 years, we've been using this as a framework to make sure that those are top priority projects in the next two-year budget cycle that will be coming before you later as well. So again, you know, we'll finalize this. We'll present a final document to council. We're looking at least by the end of the month, pending no major changes, getting you guys a final draft, the pretty version, that will be put together by JGA. You'll have a chance to review that document, provide final input. We'll take that back and then package all that up to you, bring it for an approval. And I think, as Mr. Hewitt mentioned, the key piece of this document is that vision statement. You know, this is the first time that we've developed a major comprehensive vision statement from council, and this is the goal. This is the thing that moves us forward, that gives us as staff members that clear direction from you all as council members of where we should be going, what we should be thinking about when we develop our priorities and our projects, and how we're going to execute those to make sure that those do align with this type of document, your vision statement overall. And then in 2 years, we do it again to make sure that we're all aligned and we keep everything going, and it's just a constant ball and keeps everybody on their toes and keeps plans moving forward. So again, this tool will be used to monitor initiatives. We're going to be tracking our milestones. So going into that granular piece that you don't see today, but is for tracking internally, is we'll see who's responsible for it, whether that's person or department. There's generally timelines associated with that, and that's what we're all working out right now. There's some barriers that we've identified too with some of these initiatives. Like anything, not everything's going to go through without a hitch. There will be ones here and there, and we'll figure them out and we'll move past with them. So let's dive right into it. So we got goal number one was facilities, transportation, and infrastructure. And in this one, we used community development, water, wastewater, utilities, Christopher, and we engaged with David Licaro, Public Works team, and Mark with the airport to look at this holistic approach. And as Mr. Hua mentioned, there's going to be things in here that tie all into master plans, departmental studies, and strategies, but then there are one-offs here and there as things have come up or we anticipate will come up in the next 2 years. You know, I think one of the important ones that comes out of here is implement priority projects identified in the traffic signal master plan. There's been a lot of discussion at council and within the public to tie in a system that helps our traffic signals work in unison for emergency vehicles. So you got the fiber that builds into this, you got other aspects of traffic signalization, maintenance and repairs and upgrades that will all play into this piece of the plan. So while you see this component in the initiative, there's other pieces that will build into this. And if you're okay, I'll just kind of, do you want to do questions while we go? Okay.
I have a question.
Yep.
David, I've got a question. Go ahead, Bert.
Who's first?
Go ahead, Bob. Let Bob do it first. Go ahead.
Thank you. All those look like they're all kind of related to traffic signals. So if I was a constituent and I'm looking at facilities, transportation, infrastructure, I'm thinking roads. And I know traffic signals will take part of roads, but where do we prioritize fixing our roads?
Yeah, we got to.
Why do we need 1, 2, 3, 4 steps for traffic signals?
We can add more roads. Yeah.
Call. Like 1.1 should be implement priority projects in the traffic signal master plan. But you're breaking it down. What?
Yeah.
And yes, I'm concerned about roads, but I'm also, are we going to spend that much time and money on traffic signals? We've been working on traffic signals for the last couple of years now. We're still going to, so this is what we're going to work on 2 more years?
Probably. Yeah, that's going to be a long-term project, just with all the components that go into it. But yeah, we'll probably see traffic signals continue on past year two. But I hear you with the roads projects. We'll work on implementing some of those into this one as well.
Thank you.
Yep, absolutely.
Pro Tem Gregory.
Yeah, David.
Yes, sir.
So I hear what you're saying, but I think 1.1.5 needs to go to the top of the list.
1.1.5.
Because it's the it's the implement of the five-year roadway treatment plan and Measure I-24 initiatives fixing the roads. And to me, the signals are more augmenting. So if you're going to do a priority process, I think that needs to move to the top.
I think, yeah, that's definitely right. especially the traffic signalization, that's low-hanging fruit, so to speak, compared to the big one, right?
Perfect.
But along with that, I would say 1.4 should be 1.2 then.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because those two go together very much closer than the others.
I think they're all important, but I think the main push for our goal should be for the main reason to fix our roads.
Perfect. Great suggestions.
And whatever measure I-24 initiatives means, is that for renewing the I-24 itself? Should that be in there?
I think it's a separate issue.
That's a separate issue.
It's a good point.
It should be in that process.
I'll just jump in real quick. This is all good feedback. I think, the feedback is welcome, and we're happy to take it. In this case, yes, we had, you know, streets listed. I don't believe these were necessarily in priority order. I understand the need to wanting to push them up top and see it up top. We can make those changes. What I would suggest is maybe we can get through kind of the big picture, and then if you want to go goal by goal, we can, but I think we've got quite a few different areas to cover this evening to at least start the conversation. I was hoping to give you a broad overview, and then we're happy to kind of discuss at a high level anything you want to talk about, but I want to make sure we have ample time, because I know we've got six or seven.
Chris, I was going to suggest, this is almost, what we're doing here is almost like a workshop kind of thing, where you're trying to do the presentation on what you presented, but maybe we have some time to invest in it.
This was meant to introduce the goals for the year, and so the process would be, we're introducing the goals tonight. This is meant to introduce the goals tonight. The intent was then to come back on May 5th, and also I think in another meeting before they were adopted, to continue to revise them and get feedback. So it's a progressive process. Again, we're going to be giving you some opportunity over the next few weeks to provide input to staff, and we're going to coalesce that feedback in a future document.
Okay.
The format that we did in November was awesome. We took a morning, and that's all we did.
Yep.
And to Mayor Hammond's point, that might be something to consider.
Yeah.
As we evolve, it's just give us a couple hours on a day.
Exactly.
And just work on this. But yeah, I hear what you're saying about the overview. We'll nitpick you to death. We absolutely will. And if we just know that we're going to come back.
Yeah. And thank you, Councilmember. Because what we wanted to do is the work that you did was to provide direction on like six goal areas and some sub focus areas. What now we're getting into is much more detail, and I think we went back and forth internally, just to be very open and transparent with the council. We went back and forth internally in terms of how best to present quite a bit of information in a format and a process that's going to be productive. And one of the things that really I wanted to do was to really share with you the compilation of the work that staff has started to work on, understanding that if the council so desires, we're happy to siphon off a special workshop to short workshop to go down. We're happy to work in scheduling that. There I don't think was a real good way necessarily to dive into six goal areas with multiple sub goal areas.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of work that we're trying to get done. So,
Chris Beal.
I think it is sort of a dilemma, like at what level we should be reviewing and providing feedback in terms of what we were just presented with during our 10-minute break, right? And so now we're just trying to digest all of this. I know for me, I prepared on the 2-page buckets of information, which is completely different than, not completely different, but my preparation doesn't necessarily apply to your presentation. And I think for context, it's important for us to remember and for the community to know, to remind everyone through this presentation what our vision statement is, right? Because that is the guiding framework from which all of this came out and should be the guiding framework which informs how we are looking at the different initiatives in what will become our two-year plan. And I went back and listened to our workshop that we had, just to refresh. I was like, what? I think I have a sense, but I needed to, refresh my memory. There was so much consensus and agreement from the five of us in terms of opportunity, working families, young people, making sure that they have a chance and can have a good life like we did. And that was echoed by the consultant when he came back to us to sort of reflect what he learned during our interview session. So I think as we need to probably think about what the most productive way is for us to spend our information, but we also need to be laser focused on what we agreed upon in terms of our vision statement.
I think, David, I know you're trying to get through this. Why don't we, if you could, let's just go hit all the topics, the headings.
Sure.
And
sure.
Maybe drop down a couple that you think are very important for us to kind of concentrate on, but to get through it. I really like the way it's laid out. Mm-hmm. It's
Thank you.
Very detailed. But
it is. As you said, there's a lot to cover in this, and there's a lot to capture in the vision statement and where council wants to go for the growth of the city. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, let's jump into 1.2. Mm-hmm. This one of the main objectives was stormwater and drainage infrastructure management. In 1.3, we looked at public facilities, infrastructure planning, and improvement. And then 1.4, this is where we really focus on the airport. We got some spaceport information in there, other stuff, other strategy steps that were included come from the ACIP, which is the Airport Capital Improvement Plan that we work through every year with the FAA to make sure that that's reflected. Another big one was the enhanced airport security planning implementation so that we have clear boundaries of where the airport lies. That was a previous initiative that council approved recently to have the airport security fencing plan implemented and put in place. So we still felt that was a very important initiative to put in here, get that done in the next 2 years, move on to the next goal. And then we roll into goal 2, which was public safety with police and the fire department. They were very happy to do this. The chief's still back there. These guys are busy. They got some plans for the next 2 years. It was hard keep tampering them down to say we can't include all of this in the plan, but great initiatives coming out of public safety. You can see strengthened organizational capacity and infrastructure for both departments. Big one, construct a training classroom at the public safety training center. Both agree that that is pivotal to keeping officers, firefighters, well-trained, up-to-date on all the standards and having a good usable space to do that rather than having to outsource to other agencies or other areas, pay those rental fees. Let's do it here. Similarly, what the fire department did when we've got the regional training facility for that, they're, again, growing that out using the J20 funds, helping to fund those initiatives, get that done too. Secondly, enhanced training, professional development, and career pathways. The big one I think that came out of here is the police department accreditation. Chief Nord is really looking forward to getting that off the ground and moving. He's gonna work heavily with the California Association Agency to get that started. And that is just, if you're not familiar with those accreditation programs, they're huge for departments. They really set standards for procedures, policies, and hold accountability. And they are great programs to have in place and take a lot of time to do it, but it really showcases the department's well-rounded ability to serve the public and maintain and attract and reach, new officers. Secondly, 2.3 was improved financial stewardship and long-term stability. So the big one here is the renewal of Measure J20. So as you know, that expires in 2032, but we would like to try to get that done sooner and then similarly have it no sunsetted like we have with I-24. So that's a big measure, continuing the funding, making sure we have the money to continue doing the projects that we want to do. Next is 2.4, expand community engagement and public communication. Here we got the CERT programs are big on that. Next is 2.5, driven data decision-making and workload analysis. Upgrade the computer-aided dispatch CAD system is probably the biggest one within this objective, is to make sure that that has all the system is in place, gives the communication across the spectrum, and all the dispatch is able to work in unison on that as well. 2.6, advance EMS public-private partnership development. So you're all familiar with what we're doing with ambulance services, so this rolls into that. And next, we have goal three. This one was done with the help of Angelica and our homeless services manager, Ashley. There's a lot in this as well. We hear what's going on, where council wants to focus on homelessness. How do we meet this demand? How do we help this sector in our community? So there's a lot of different initiatives, our strategies and steps with these objectives. The first one being strengthen homelessness, communication, outreach, and coordination. The next couple ones related to this goal are lengthy like this one. So I would urge you just take a minute to look through those. Because we could talk a lot about these different ones. Still a lot of work to do on this home front. Angelica and her team recognize that and have heard the community and are really working diligently to ensure that we check those boxes and we provide the services and programs to the homelessness community as best as we possibly can. So this one was expand affordable housing development and implementation opportunities. Following that is increase access to behavioral health, detox, and substance use services. Once again, several goals identified, strategy steps identified to meet this objective as part of the housing homelessness goal. And we have implement coordinated public health, safety, and workforce initiatives in priority areas. So we heard this tonight, install the fencing in targeted locations to make sure that there's safe locations for this population to get to the services that they need rather than putting health and safety at risk by crossing busy roads like 46 and 101. And implement beautification projects. Do the best we can to beautify these areas. Keep our community looking good aesthetically. Like what was talked about earlier, Gateway. Making sure people driving through our communities are happy with what they see. And then we jump into goal four, which is cultural recreation and open spaces. The first one was develop a citywide parks, rec, and trails master plan. I've heard this since I've been on, that this is the next big step, is let's get a system in place, let's get a plan that tells us where we need to go. This is obviously a goal that'll go past 2 years, but these are the objective strategies that we've identified that we can confidently get a good hold on, either finish or begin good foothold with in the next 2 years. Following is strengthen recreational services in parks operations. One of the ones on here with, we're still trying to fill that big void from Frida's departure as our public works director. Special events has been a critical aspect that we're managing right now. Once again, Helica and her team are doing an excellent job picking that ball up, trying to figure out, how we can continue this service without Frida. So establish a city special event coordination committee is critical to make sure that we keep these events going, that we can provide the services that event coordinators expect when they come to the city of Paso, and that we have events that both we're happy with as a city and that our community is happy to attend. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure we hit all those marks. Next is enhance and expand athletic field capacity. That has been a big one coming out of all the youth fields, all the different sports organizations that we have. We've been talking about it, you've been talking about it, is we've got to hit this need in the community and provide those areas for more people to play. Similarly with the discussion that we had with Mr. Butterfield in the Ravine, having more opportunities for kids to go out and participate in sports is critical to the happiness and the quality of life in our community. So several different strategies and steps identified in there as well. Next, we got modernize and plan for the future of library services. Since we are the best library services in the county, bar none, and we're doing everything we can to make it even better with, as you heard Casey's presentation earlier, not getting awarded, but moving forward in the process for our $1.5 million request for the library redesign. So big on our priority list. We have a number of folks using our library, and we want to continue that and increase usership. So, and Helica did a great job putting together several of these too for that. Goal five, community and economic development. This was led with Warren and Paul and myself. So a lot of effort between these two gentlemen to make a broad step at what we can put together for strategies that will, number one, provide business retention, attraction, expansion, program implementation. A lot of this does come from the EDSP. So this was approved three, four years ago. The economic development strategic plan, so I'm not using acronyms, But EDSPA, we're still in full force with that one. So a lot of those goals that we still need to complete, you'll see here in strategies for these objectives. Next, we got economic development, marketing, and business attraction. I think big in here is the first one. Develop and implement an economic development, marketing, and branding strategy to support business attraction efforts. That leads into some of the work that Paul's been doing to get videos put together. We've seen some of our other partners like Travel Paso do some excellent videos that they put out there. We want to do the same. So that's a big priority for us. Get that out there, get our name out there, and get branding that is easily identifiable. Next, we got aerospace innovation and technology sector development. Could go on for a while on this one. We are full bore 100% on moving these initiatives forward. And with that comes a lot of other strategies and steps as you see up here to make sure that this next endeavor that we pursue in aerospace and space technology is supported wholeheartedly through our efforts internally to make sure that the companies are being attracted and staying here and that we're getting new companies in. Following that is infrastructure strategy to support diversified economic development. So this goes into just making sure our infrastructure is going to the right places. I think the big takeaway here is that our wet utilities are going in the areas that we see the biggest bang for their buck, that we are seeing development in those areas, working closely with Warren and his team, with the discussions he is having with different developers, and that is just that well-rounded focal point of making sure that we are building and helping to support development growth that makes sense and that continues to build on our community and continues to build on the successes we've already had. So, and the following is economic development funding and resource strategy. So to do all this, we've got to have funding. So we want to find those funding sources, whether they're through regional, state and industry partners to ensure we've got the grants or funding opportunities to see these move forward, similar to what we talked about with the Cal Poly $1 million spaceport and technology grant that we're working with currently. We continue to work on those, and we did that today talking with NASA at our spaceport advisory group, working groups to make sure that we can find what we can do to move those forward. Next is downtown beautification and public realm enhancement. Here's where we've got the alley beautification project that Mr. Hewatt talked about, forming that ad hoc committee to start beautifying the alleys like Norma's and the other ones that we've talked about previously. But the third one is develop an implementation plan for prioritizing alley improvements, including design, funding, and phasing. So we've seen Warren's intern, the work that he did, so piggybacking on that as well to form those plans. And our last goal is efficient and effective governance. So the first one, and this was done with the help of Mr. Hua and Ryan, our administrative services director as well. First one's enhance website accessibility, compliance, and user experience. So we've got a big milestone to check box by April of 2027 to make sure that our website meets ADA compliance. So we're working heavily with the clerk's office, working with IT to get those changes done and in place so that we can be compliant and have it available for ADA. And there's a lot to that. You'll be hearing more about it in the coming months, but this is a big lift, but we'll be getting it done. So that was in here, included in one of our objectives. Moving next is conduct the departmental organizational assessments to improve effectiveness and efficiency. And those are ongoing right now. So we've already started those. The Public Works one, they've completed their interviews. We'll be having an update call with them next week. And Warren and his team just finished reviewing the RFP submissions for the community development department assessment. So we're looking forward to moving that one forward too. And those, as you know, they identify the good, the bad, the ugly, and they're a great way to see what we're doing good, how we can do it better, and what the next steps are to move the department forward. So I'm excited to see what comes out of those for Public Works. Is Warren excited? He looks excited. Next is advanced artificial intelligence integration and cybersecurity readiness. This is horrible. This is something that we face in local government where we have these cyber criminals that constantly attack us and they try to get our data, hold it ransom, and ask cities for a lot of money to get it back. Yeah. So we want to make sure that we're doing everything we can on the IT side to ensure that we that does not happen to us, and that we can mitigate those as best as possible, and additionally meet, bless you, and additionally meet all of our insurance requirements and standards for that compliance too. But more importantly is Mr. Huat, he loves AI, as you can tell in his AI generated PowerPoint that he used earlier this year. But you know, we really want to look at that to help us. I'm calling him out. Yeah, we really want to look at AI as a way to help us with our workloads and you know, give us better ability to utilize the tools available to us. You know, everybody's using ChatGPT, Perplexity. I don't remember the one that his presentation tool was, but these are great tools for us as an organization to utilize to help us do our jobs better, to present information more clear and transparent to not only you but the public. So the goal here is really, how do we use it in a smart way? How do we develop policies and procedures, or as we call our bumpers, to make sure that we don't go off in a way that would get us in trouble and then we have to call Liz? So, you know, this is an important goal area for us moving forward. Next, we want to strengthen public information, outreach, and community engagement, and that means onboarding a management analyst with PIO expertise to lead coordinated communication efforts. Mr. Huat has been very clear, we got to tell our story. We got to get our story out there, and we're behind the eight ball, and let's get this out. As I mentioned earlier, doing videos for economic development, but you know, getting the video out for Coffee with the City, so those that can't come, they can go online and view it. We just got to get better behind that, get our PIO put together, get our procedures in place, and move forward with that. So really excited to get this one going. Next, we want to modernize employee performance management and personnel policies. So we need to update those old employee rules and regs. As a new hire recently, the 1984 handbook needs a dusting off, so we need to work on that, get that going so that we're matching the today's day and age and what's going on. Continue coordination with labor unions on performance evaluations, and just generally update the evaluation forms, make them easier to use so that the staff can move forward with the process less cumbersome, and we'll adapt to it better. It's always important that it makes it easy for staff so that we can roll through it faster and know that it's not going to be a big old cumbersome process. And I believe this is our last one, conducted comprehensive employee benefits comparative analysis. And that one, I'm lost on that one, so I'm gonna defer to Mr. Huat on that one.
Yeah, I can jump in and provide a little context. So it's
been
several years since the city has gone out and really done a deep dive on our insurance programs in particular, those benefits that are provided to our employees. And so typically what cities will do is go out to market or use, with the assistance of an expert, go out to market and determine, are we getting the best deal? Is there additional value to be had?